This week, on the 26th of April 2002, Terry Burton was sacked by Wimbledon after repeatedly clashing with Charles Copple over transfer policy and the proposed move to K. Matters had come to a head when the manager had ignored instructions to omit defender Peter Hawkins from the team for the game against Barnsley, as it would have earned in a £10,000 bonus for passing a specified number of games. With the club claiming to be losing £20,000 a day and out of playoff contention, I wonder why, the chairman was keen to cut costs.
Oh, mate. Imagine missing out on the playoffs. We're the same old Wombles. We're back. Hello, hello, dear listener. Welcome to our podcast. For some reason, we try and stay upbeat after everything that's happened to us. And talking of trying to stay upbeat, we made the mistake again of doing some voice notes in the prior to the poor fail match. And even at half time, we managed to catch some people. So, you know, to give you a bit of a feel about what it was like. And people were feeling generally a bit optimistic at that time, up until half time. And you'll notice that that's when the voice notes stop. There's no voice notes that are after the game. And if you could read our WhatsApp messages, you'd understand why. Anyhow, sit back and endure as we talk to some of the fans and amongst ourselves in the lead up to the Port Vale game.
You've been asking some questions about how it feels.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Same Old Wombles podcast. We are live yet again after the wonderful success of our voice notes and the away game at Gillingham. We decided that we're going to do it again for reasons we can't quite understand. I think we've just been ambushed by Tall Mark, who's here selling the programmes. How are you going, Tall Mark? You all right?
I'm fine. Today's my last volunteer stint as a programme seller, so I'll be finishing off with that soon and then coming in to cheer us on, because we are definitely playing 3-4-3, not 3-4-4. I think. I hope.
I'm loving this. 3-5-3 is great because, again, we're playing 12 players, which is a fantastic move.
How are we going to win?
I think if we can get away with it, that's awesome. So thanks, Mark, for your insight. Some other people might have counted the team and thought, actually, this is 3-5-2. But seriously, there's another player that we don't know. So if you do know who that missing extra player is, do let us know as soon as you can. Thanks, Mark.
I think this is what's happened here. We've all got very confused. We're all slightly excited and stuff like that. Can't count numbers. But one person I can always rely on is our producer, the man who's travelled all the way from, I don't know,
somewhere.
Adam Proctor, how you doing, my man?
Yeah, I'm good now. I'm here. Although I'm better because someone's queuing for a beer for me. I got ambushed on the way in to do voice notes that I now have to add into the show, which is slightly annoying, but whatever. I just hope we just got to win. That's all that matters.
Okay, just got to win. Excellent. But I think I have a feeling that our last few games have been must wins.
Yeah, they've all been must wins. This is every game we should win, obviously.
Yeah,
but this is becoming more important to win.
It's becoming more. They're becoming more must win as we go along.
Yeah, must win.
Yeah, that's right. But so if
we want to play like we think we can win, unlike what happened to Gillingham.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
Going with all this tactical know-how, play like you want to win. We've not done that before, Mark. That's a new one. We'll be telling Johnny JJ that.
I'm going in to get the beer that's being bought for me.
Right, we've lost our producer.
I'm going to get some food because the food's really good inside. So
yeah, I'm also going in. Anyhow, here we go. Come on, you dons. Back to say my wombles. Here we are, live outside in the food area, fan zone. And Niall's outside. He's just ordered from the Argentinian street food place. And on the counter, right in front of the Prada place, is the same old Wombles award from last year. They won the best food outlet last year. And in Prada place is our mug that we did. We're going to do some more awards this year. Just need to figure out what those awards are and then order the mugs and then present it. And obviously, we can't do the presentation here at the ground at the moment because we don't know when the awards are going to be given. It looks like they're going to be all online, which is a bit of a shame. Although we're hoping we might be able to do it at the Nightingale testimonial. Although we understand that maybe some of the players that we're awarding might have left the club by that point. Anyhow, it's It's all go. I was talking to some fans here, and rather than checking out our results, they were all looking about the permutations of what other teams can do so they get into the playoffs. Anyhow, it's all lively. It's all buzzy. As usual, the MyPie queue is like a mile long. The Argentinian queue is quite long as well. All the food is doing well. I mean, I have to say, we're getting loads of praise for our food. It's fantastic. Anyhow, onwards and upwards, ain't I?
Yeah, definitely. I'm particularly happy with the pasta food, but a very big question to our listener. Will La Pasta hold its crown for the best food outlet for 24-25? That's got to get you waiting. That's got to get you tuning in. It's the big question. It's the one that everyone wants to know. Will La Pasta hold its crown? That's the question.
Yeah, it's a question. Sam Wombles running around the ground. Hello again, Sam Wombles here. I just want to say, because a lot of times Adam doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He doesn't get the voice that he deserves, I think, on the podcast. So today, just saying, you were not going to come today. Is that right?
No, I was supposed to be working, basically. And I was going to be working and then coming to the 3 o'clock kickoff. Of course, Sky, who are evil, basically moved the kickoff to the morning, which would have meant I couldn't work. But it transpired that the people are supposed to get people to come to my work and be entertained. They didn't get anyone to come. So I sacked off work and came to the game.
But Adam, because I know usually you've stopped doing this, and it's because we've been ribbing you on it. But we used to get like regular updates on your journey to the ground, and I haven't seen one of those for a long time. But where are you coming from?
So Southampton Central. So yeah, it's not that far. So you go to Clapham. It's an hour and a half, roughly. But today was packed. Which I did tell you guys on the
chat. Yeah, you did. But we used to get like regular updates. This is just one, and it's packed full of delusional Palace fans. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're basically off to the FA Cup semi-final. Yeah, but they weren't. The people I was chatting to, they weren't in full regalia, so they weren't that committed, as far as I could tell. Yeah. You know,
sorry, not like us. Exactly. I mean, I've got to say, I'm not today. The only thing I've got on again is my PMs. Adam's in the Adidas.
Yeah. But I've got the Adidas boxing ones to be slightly different to the other Adidas ones.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, but I've got to go to a work function after this.
Oh, okay.
So that's the excuse of me in a shirt. I know in the civvies. I'm looking around. I'm very jealous. Everyone in there, and also I've seen a few of the Hawaiian shirts, which would be my normal thing.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure whether that's normal. But.
Anyhow. Here we are. Well, we have to say, did you see that on the poster?
I know. They've actually put a Seymour Wombles mug. Like, I don't know what it's holding. It's showing up.
In pride of place, because they won the award last year.
They did win the award, but I just wonder why. I didn't realise they were putting it at the front of their stand, which is quite cool. So we literally advertised to everyone who buys an Argentinian sandwich, which is pretty cool.
Oh, we're very excited about that. Anyhow, we'll be back, and I'm gonna keep doing these because I know that Adam loves editing together the post the notes.
I like the voice notes because they sound really optimistic pre-game. I just worry that it goes from like really high to really low now. The podcast has a moment where it's, oh yeah, now we're gonna hear the horrible, depressing after game nonsense. So yeah, the excitement pre-game is nice, but it's we're too optimistic.
Right. Come on, you dons. Right, we're here with one of the founders. He loves it. Mr. Mark Jones. Mate, you're going to join us on our podcast?
Not tomorrow night, probably not. Not on a Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's a day of rest.
I don't even know where
to go with this. I don't know what time I'm getting home from church.
You don't know what time you get home from here.
I don't even know where I am now, let alone... I will come on. I was checking previously where I was allowed to come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why are you not allowed to come on? What are you?
We're very controversial at the same old pub.
Yeah, mate, look at us. It will ruin me reputationally, wouldn't it, coming on as well?
Yeah, that's what happened.
We've ruined them lot now,
haven't we? That's right.
Yeah, he's an end crew. I was trying to go on a more edgy one, first of all, and then try and, like, you know, quieten it down on your one.
Oh, I know.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, now, and that's fact, by doing this, you're on the...
Look at the quality of this output as well. I'm speaking to a phone by a burger van.
It's not a burger van. It's a poster. Look, they've got the same old Wombles mug.
Oh, I see. And you... Oh, again, how it works. Yeah,
mate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe I haven't read the terms and conditions yet. I don't know what I'll end up with. A lifetime supply of meat I don't need. Or...
Too right, my friend.
You literally are recording this.
Yeah, mate, I'm going to totally record this. Everything you say.
No money spared.
No.
None spent either.
There's none spared. There's no spared.
Oh. Yes, we'll hook up sometime.
Yeah. 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 It's now.
Yeah, but you can't line me up like that. You know, if we lose 8-0 today, and then I have to come on and kind of like stick up for it. Oh, that's where I'm going to get in trouble, yeah. Right?
You were at the Gillingham game.
Were you? Yes, it was at the Gillingham game.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I quite like the endeavour of it, the tension.
Yeah.
The tension. You know, like, I like to take it to the
screen.
Oh, nobody wants to not watch the last episode of the season, right? You don't want to go like, oh, he's definitely going to get killed in a minute, and then I can not watch next week.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see.
Is there a thing in the towel?
Probably, unfortunately, yes.
The comms director of AFC Wimbledon telling you exactly how to make the club maintain its presence, keep it going. Brilliant marketing skills. Thank you, Mark Jones. That is awesome. That is definitely the tactics, not that we've been playing shit. Nothing to do with it at all.
See, that's what you can't get me on the podcast to do.
Right.
Here's a bear trap. Please jump into it with both feet.
We don't even know how to line up a bear trap. Okay. Anyhow, we will be having Mark Jones. That's a snippet of what you can expect at some point, sometime with the same old Wombos.
Same Wombos, it's halftime, 0-0. I'm with Kaz, one of our guests from earlier on in the season. Hi, Kaz, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. So what's your thoughts on the first half?
I think the first half was pretty decent, actually. We had more shots. We didn't get goals, but, you know, it was more a part of the... So, you know, we have everything to play for. I was quite surprised that Courtfield did not look that good, to be honest.
Yes, at the moment. They look really big. I mean, like, they're a big, strong team, don't you think?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So I'm nervous because, you know, it's the... Well, because I'm a Wimbledon fan. That's the general point of it. Well, how do you think it's going to go?
I can't predict.
You're in our camp. I only think it's young people that predict.
Oh, really?
Well, the older you get, the more we don't do it because we're afraid of upsetting the football gods.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we all have our rituals.
Oh, don't we? Just. It's ridiculous. I'm going to have to do a podcast on superstition because I talked to a few people about it today and it just feels... I know, it controls us sometimes.
Yeah.
This ridiculous things that we do in planning for a match.
Yeah.
So, for example, if things go positive for us today, are you wearing the same stuff next Saturday?
I don't know. I haven't thought of that, but why not?
That's the thing.
I always have to have my flow-length cup for my coffee in the morning.
See? This is what's happening to us.
I know.
Anyhow, Cass, it's been lovely. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see how the second half goes.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, there you are, everyone. So we're all quite optimistic. It was quite nice talking to Kaz, who's been on the podcast before, and Jonesy, who's promising to come back.
I'm going to interrupt you very early in this one, because I think the last voice note did mention the big fundamental question, which was, who is going to be the food outlet champion of the year, because that's about as positive as I could get after Saturday, barring the fact I should probably be stalking and finding out exactly where the referee lives for two horrendous decisions, and the complete dismay that I have and the lack of hope that those who have had the misfortune of sitting near me or hearing me over the last few weeks will have realized has now reached its high point of like complete and utter doom and gloom that is my world. So that's kind of where we're at. So I think really concentrating on who could be the successor of my pie is probably about as optimistic as I get at the moment.
Hey, the good thing for me was that I went after the game. I was with some of Mark's friends, so we said we'd go to the man of the match thing, and it was really positive because basically it appears that at some points I can be way less angry than Mark after a football match. So that was quite nice. So I was like, wow, I thought I was upset and annoyed. Mark was not happy at all.
you can tell how bad things are. We haven't even bothered introducing ourselves this week.
I know. I know. We've gone straight into it. So anyhow, hello, everybody. Hello, dear listener. I'm Matt Cooper. Today, I'm joined by mon frere, Niall Cooper from The Dark Place. Hello, Niall. Oh, he's on mute. That's
how dark he's on mute. That's why. Best place for
it. Matt, is at this exact same time, the Football Governance Bill is being debated in the House of Commons, right? So I was supposed to technically... be listening to that. It's like the most fundamental point in the entire history of British football coming to being live debated. At the moment, you've got the Shadow Minister basically lambasting Labour for appointing a person who is supposed to be the independent chair of the regulator, but happened to have given that hundreds of thousands of pounds to Labour, which might possibly be a bit of a question about independence, but I won't go into that.
Anyhow, this is we always do a short intro to people when they come on.
Hello to
our fantastic producer, the man who uses the phrase donut liberally throughout every match. Hello, our fine producer, Adam Proctor. Right, mate.
I'm all right. To be fair, that game required a lot of donuts. You know, it was a lot more than I would normally dispel, and it was getting on my nerves, something chronic. So yeah, it's just I have to have all these different words to curb my ability that would be really, really bad swearing every 2 seconds. So.
and also to our football guru stats man, and because. I've travelled up to Birmingham, of all places. Here I am. I didn't bring my In This Week book by Stephen Crabtree. Mark Lewis stepped in and has done a wonderful voice intro there. Thank you so much. And is our guru and a man of knowledge and getting angrier by the match. Hello, Mark.
Good evening. I was just about chilling out and now we're doing a podcast, so I have to relive Saturday all over again. I had a really chilled out Saturday afternoon with three good friends of mine. Unfortunately, before that, there were a couple of hours of football which really pissed me off, frankly. But the maddest thing, I think, about Saturday, and we'll go through it, I know, was there was a moment where I stood up and... No, actually, I came back in at halftime, having had a quick beer with a couple of workmates of mine who were there. And as I came back in, the guy in front of me basically said, "Oh my God, he's come back and sat behind me again." And I thought, he must be talking about me, because at this point, I was the only person sitting directly behind him. And that was after the first half, which obviously was relatively okay. Then, of course, we know what happened second half, as we'll talk about in a bit. And then at one point in the second half, I stood up and exclaimed things that grown men shouldn't exclaim. And then I paused while I was still standing up to think that wasn't really the right thing to say. And then about 15 seconds later, I said almost exactly the same thing with even more swear words. And they were, of course, directed straight at the referee, relating specifically to the second goal. And then I calmed down again, or at least I thought I had. And then, as Adam said, I went to meet him, tidied up a few things post-match, and went to meet him at the back of the shop to go up to the man of the match thing and launched into another tirade about exactly the same thing. I am officially angry of Worcester Park.
Oh, it was so awful. I think, Nye, because we were, if you go back to the last match, the Gillingham match, which was really depressing, on the way there, we were talking about the fact I'd seen this prediction thing which said we would get 1 point between now and the end of the season.
That much?
Exactly. And it said that 1 point would be against Port Vale. And so now I look at it and it's just good grief. I mean, we're in jeopardy time.
I know, we are properly screwed, right? In the happy world of Niall, properly screwed, right? Basically, we have to not lose. Right, that is the reality at Grimsby. There is another small possibility, which is that Salford and Chesterfield don't win, and we need both of those to happen, and then we can lose at Grimsby and still scrape in. But the likelihood that happens,
teams are on the beach already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you know.
But then, Mark, we've been on the beach for months.
Not as bad as Warsaw. This is the only thing I think that's keeping me going as a football fan. Having followed a number of bloggers on X in the last few months while I've been trying to get people to write articles for the programme. I've been following Port Vale people who obviously are beside themselves with glee and are posting all these photos of Port Vale players wearing boxer shorts and nothing else in nightclubs in Burslem somewhere. The Warsaw fans make us, frankly, seem like a bunch of completely happy-go-lucky clowns at the circus, as opposed to clowns in attack.
I don't want
to over-dramatise things, but they are really, understandably, quite down on their uppers, so to speak.
Although, I mean, it's a weird one, isn't it, with them, with Walsall? Because, yes, they were, like, I think it was at least 12, if not more, points ahead going into the new year. And people were saying, I remember seeing this podcast once, someone's going, are they the best team that League Two's ever seen? That was one of the podcasts that was out at that time. And they've just gone, fallen off a cliff. So, I mean, being a fan of them, it'd just be horrendous. But they did win on the weekend. So are they...
No, they didn't. Yeah. They lost 1-0 to Accrington.
Oh, they did lose 1-0. Who won? Who won 3-1? Someone won. Was it Count? Notts County, I think it was. Sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. We've all sort of just gone off a, just fallen off a cliff. So ignore what I just said. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. So what you're saying, Mark, is if the worst comes to the worst, we could be playing them in the playoff semi-finals.
I think that's the best option possible, frankly.
Yeah, I would say that is the best option. It's not the worst of the worst. Because the worst of the worst is that we don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that is that's a truism. And we are going to have a look back at the Port Vale game. Can I just ask, though, Mark, are you still going?
I still haven't decided. As listeners to the pod will remember... And a couple of people came up to me and said they loved the fact that people were giving car parking tips of the Gillingham area because they were just as screwed trying to find somewhere to sit, so to park him. I still haven't worked it out. I have to hire a car to be able to go. I don't really want to drive on my own, except, of course, that involves me having to persuade somebody that they want to come with me, which is quite difficult in itself. Someone's just posted on X about this being a must-win and a must-watch game. I'm thinking, surely it's a must-not-watch game. But then again, what am I going to do if I'm not watching it?
Well,
I'm not going to go and dig the weeds in the garden, which, much as the weeds in my garden really do need desperately digging up, but
I think I'm
going to find something better to do.
I'm not going, but I think I will get on the VPN and probably end up watching it, just because... What's you going to be doing? You're going to be like...
Yeah, you're right, Adam.
Like, unless you turn all your phones off, we're gonna be stressing for like an hour and a half. Like, we have to at least have some sort of connection into what's going to happen. It's a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of going down to Plough Lane. I think I might go down there. So, Mark, if you don't go, then maybe we should we'll all hook up. We could do some more voice notes. Yeah.
No, it's actually positive.
I think given the lack of success on the superstition front of voice notes, this week we should ban voice notes.
We'll see what happens and then decide.
We've banned them. We
won't do them before.
We've got to think about everything. Superstition comes into play in its greatest form this weekend.
The straw clutching is amazing. Yeah. You know, Grimsby winless in four, failed to have a shot on target the weekend, you know. I'm just like scrolling through various things on X to find something somewhere that I can make me feel better about life.
Jake Reeves is back.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, except I thought Hutchinson played quite well. And he's the only one that had a shot. Literally the only one not even had a shot against Port Vale.
Park the bus, play Kelly up front. Park the bus, they've got to come and they've got to try and score. Park the bus, play Josh Kelly up front, kick the ball long. Anybody with pace, have them on the wings and just fucking charge, but spend most of the time parking the bus and then we can counter, because they've got to win the game, so they're going to have to come at us. We have to just play counter football and play fast.
We have to remember how to score a goal.
Counter football is exactly what we do, but at some point we're going to have to try and...
The difference, Mark, is that they have to. Port Vale didn't have to. They could have taken a point and they'd probably still be okay. Grimsby have to win. They have to throw everything at us. there will be gaps behind, and that's where we've just got to let them come on to a certain degree, and then get Nerfville. Hopefully Nerfville gets a bit of space. Hopefully that's where we've got to look for those Nerfville and Kelly, getting them a bit of space and go through with pace. Because frankly, you know, Kelly, look, Lewis, Hutchinson, Reeves, if we play defensively properly, we can be all right. That's where we've got to go. We've just got to try and do it. Can I see us, you know, maybe we scrape it, maybe we get a draw. Fuck knows what we'll do in the playoffs, but I now know my operation date means I'm going to be able to, I'll miss both legs if we make it anyway. There's absolutely no chance I can get to the home leg because it's about 3 days.
I don't obviously begrudge you the operation, but frankly, I would rather, I think, right now.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I'm the operation fine, than have to watch the playoffs.
Go to either game.
My issue, I think, chaps, is that we just look very nervous right now. We look done in. So, I mean, even a side who's doing really badly, I think that this would be the game. This would be the team you want to be playing. Because we just look nervous and breathless. And also, I mean, let's go back to the Port Vale game, because I think there were a couple of decisions in there on both goals, which you know, were wrong. I mean, overall, don't get me wrong, I think Vale just went for it, and that in the second half they were a lot stronger. The first half, I felt fairly calm, to be honest with you. I thought we were doing quite well. There was nothing particularly going forwards, but in the second half, they were a bigger, stronger team, and that's what they looked like. But those two decisions, where they, first of all, they have a free kick, which is back up near the halfway line, but for whatever reason, it's the free kick, they play it 20 yards forwards, which gives them an advantage.
There were three potential fouls in the same incident.
Yeah.
The first two were not given, and the third one was given, or at least the free kick was taken where the third one was. My understanding from talking to somebody who was sitting next to Craig, or close to Craig, was that he was basically screaming down to the analyst to get the bench to make sure that the ball was moved back, and it wasn't. The actual reality is it's a simple near post.
Oh, yeah. Plan. It was badly when it happened, it was badly defended. That's not.
It wasn't defended at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'd had the warning a few minutes beforehand for the goal that was disallowed, which actually at the time was absolutely hilarious, because it took the Port Vale players celebrating a good couple of minutes to realise that they shouldn't be celebrating.
And then obviously the second goal, where Harbottle is down with a head injury, and the referee...
It's just wrong. It's wrong. It's irresponsible of the referee.
Yeah.
He was literally 2 or 3 yards away from it. I can't work out what else I could actually say without turning into...
Going back to your swearing.
So this is where, you know, I could come in quite heavily and help you here, Mark. And obviously have Adam with the ready for the pause delete button. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to swear.
Why the not? Issue it was fucking shocking. The guy should be sent to a Sunday league game to learn how to referee again.
I mean, the thing that shocked me about it was that then literally what, a few minutes later, he then stops the game for a much minor injury to a Port Vale player. It's like,
yeah, that's right.
You know,
yes,
because I mean, it was just complete double standards. I mean, the guy obviously realizes. I mean, this is one thing that, you know, other sports sometimes do, which is they interview the referee after the game. And I would have just liked that to have happened and him to have gone.
Yeah, which sports do
utterly,
that? I'd love to see
utterly
that.
Fucked up, because he did twice. And
I haven't seen referees
us.
Do it. I haven't seen rugby do that. I haven't seen cricket do that. Who does that?
It happens in the States and in other places. It does happen.
Okay.
Now with rugby, you get the microphones, don't you? They explain their decision on the field.
Yeah, but I think that's only top flight. You wouldn't get that in like lower rugby, or I mean, it's just, listen, guys. I mean, it was appalling, but we didn't. Again, though, it didn't look like we were going to score. I mean, we had one shot. I mean, and I think we were all amazed. One shot that was on target, and their keeper had to make a save.
Yeah, but I mean, if they hadn't scored the second goal, we still would have lost 1-0. You know, I'm like, there's no, we were not doing anything that was demonstrating that we had the ability to score a goal for most of the second half. So, yeah, I think the decisions, the ref was inconsistent. Yeah, the ref was completely inconsistent. If someone goes down and they hold their head at any point, no matter what you think, you have to stop the play. That's like a rule. So I don't understand why he didn't. Yeah, it was the, I mean, and obviously Jackson then got sent off. So I'm assuming that means that he won't be on the touchline for the Grimsby game and he'll be in the stands or whatever. Yeah, and the first, yeah, the first goal, whether it was taken from the right place or not, and the advantage, whatever, it was a well delivered cross that was excellently headed. I did like the fact that Goodman made an awesome attempt to save it. It was a pretty cool dive, I have to say. He just was like a foot away from it.
Well, he's the EFL League Two goalkeeper of the season, as of the awards last night.
Yeah.
I mean, and many congrats. I mean, I think Owen's been one of our, one of the better goalkeepers, I think, if you look back in recent times. I think he's been fantastic. And I'm sure he'll be playing at a higher level next season, whether that's in League One or the Championship even. I think he's destined to play at a higher level. So it's been great. I mean, and this actually brings me on, that, talking of awards, this brings us on to the fact that there was no communication from the club about what was going to happen with the awards. And there was an assumption that it might happen after the Port Vale game. But then because of the situation we're in, and, you know, maybe this won't, I don't know, what's going to happen after the Grimsby game. So
some comms that the comms was hidden within the pre-match blur, which is like five paragraphs about the actual game itself.
So then,
which is poor in itself.
Are going to be announced online, which is a real shame. And I think, chaps, we have to make a stand here about our awards, which we still haven't quite tied down, but we will get to it at some point, dear listeners. So don't worry about it. But I think that even though people might have left the club by then, I think we have to look at the Will Nightingale testimonial, which that looks like being quite a decent day out. What have we got? We've got Ardley and Robinson on one side and Downs on the other.
As Ardley and Bassey on one side against Downs and Robinson on the other.
Downs and Robinson, yeah. I mean, I think that, and some of the players coming onto it, I think is going to be great. It'd be lovely to see Ayoub Assal again, for instance. Kedwell's going to be the man. Anyhow.
What I'm slightly freaked out by is I had a dream last night. Where, for no particular reason, a group of Wimbledon fans, including myself, was hanging out in Will Nightingale's flat.
This is already...
I've got no idea where he lives or what he looks like. But anyway, we were basically having a one-to-one chat with Will Nightingale in his flat. And he was telling us all about his career. Are we allowed to reveal a world exclusive that actually that was just a complete dream, but something else it may be happening in reality? Or is that a hidden secret?
What's that? No, what's the thing?
The same old one was exclusive. I'm looking at Mr. Keeper. Who?
Well, we'll see. We'll drip feed. Yeah, basically, you know, every now and again, we like to get some special guests on. Let's see what happens. Obviously, you know, we're lining up John Green still. He's going to be speaking to us soon. I'm sure of it.
John Green keeps on promising that. So, of course, he will at some point.
Of course, definitely. He will.
So, all of those who happen, please do at John Green. Your Twitter responses saying really looking forward to that interview you're going to do with the Same Old Wombles that you promised to several of the Same Old Wombles hosts, and it'll be great.
You've actually got to put it on Blue Sky, not on Twitter, because he's not on Blue Sky.
Put it on Blue Sky.
So do it on Blue Sky, and definitely do that. And we know that he will flock to listen to us because he's promised. And you know, John Green's the sort of person that would never ever go against his promises ever.
And he's
a great guy, and we love him.
We do love him. And I'm thinking that, anyhow, we will do our awards. I think we'll probably present them at the Will Nightingale testimonial, and hope that some of the players that we've nominated are still around. If not, we'll have to track them down. But that's our promise to you, dear listeners. So that's our comms. We're getting that out.
Hold on, Matt, stop. Stop there. You refer to listeners.
Listener. Always, dear listener.
I like the fact. I like the fact that you've now threatened some potential ex-Wimbledon players with us tracking them down.
That's right. No, that is a mission.
I'm rocking up at their door with a mug. You've won best sub.
If the police ever actually confiscated Niall Cooper's phone, there'd be some very interesting people's numbers on there, I'm sure.
But listen, going back again to these matches and what's going on, this Jeopardy thing, I always think that, and I wasn't disappointed, we always return to the same old argument, which is that we're never going to get anywhere with fan ownership. It's never gonna work. We're never gonna get anywhere with fan ownership because there isn't the money there. We can't take that step up. And I think sometimes we have to remember how far we've come in a short period of time and how, say, for example, I'm just putting a name out there, Carlisle United might prefer our situation, bearing in mind how much money they spent. I think they spent a fortune, especially in the January window.
And the other thing that we were told, literally by somebody who was in the boardroom at the Carlisle away game, was that all those players they signed in the January transfer window, none of those players, rather, had any relegation clauses in there about, you know, salaries being cut or anything like that, because they wouldn't have come had they done so. So they're now saddled. They may lose Hodges and... they may be able to get rid of, so to speak, Hodges and Mark Hughes in terms of their salaries, but they're saddled with some fairly expensive, probably League One, League Two quality players that, frankly, were not actually performing in any particular standard. You can tell how bad they were because they managed to lose to us, which shows how poor they particularly were.
Anyhow, I think this game, none of us are looking forward to it. It's going to be incredibly stressful, but... my advice to you, dear listener, is, you know, try and be with some like-minded people. Either A, try and be with some like-minded people, or B, just get to a pub and try and forget that it's all happening, and then wake up the following morning and see what's gone on.
We mentioned it already, but after the game, Adam and myself went and had a couple of beers in Ellsfield. With my old work colleagues, Dominic and Jermaine. Quick shout out to both of those who've never listened to the pod before, because neither of them are Wimbledon fans. Jermaine is a long-suffering Everton fan, having grown up in Southport and lived in West London all his life, so that's obvious Premiership quality fandom there. Dom was born in Cambridge, and apparently his dad was a Man U fan. No, his dad was a Wimbledon fan, but he apparently is a Man U fan. Work out the heritage there if you can. He also lives in Worcester Park, so he should support his local team, which, of course, is Wimbledon. Anyway, the point of mentioning them is that they obviously were impartial observers to the game on Saturday, which meant that, therefore, they could make the appropriate comments. The one that Jermaine kept coming back with was, for the first 20 minutes, I just couldn't work out what formation Wimbledon were trying to play. Was it 3-4-3? Was it 3-5-2? Was it 5 at the back and... possibly some wingers, who was actually playing up front, and so on and so forth. And this is from a man who's been watching Everton play for donkey's years and therefore is used to sheer ineptitude. But even he, I think, was slightly bewildered by what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, there are... I mean, I'm just, you know, there's some lovely people out there who've, you know, been liking us and following us. You know, there is a John G on there, but I don't think he's Mr. Green. James Howard, Paul Hudson.
John G is John Giddens, who I used to play in the Carlton Fairweather FC team. Also by Programme's office, and he has said some nice things about the podcast.
Yeah, and also John. It was great to catch up. I had a great chat with Mick Dore last week. I went down to the Alex, and Mick Dore posted as the frog was 14, the frog. You know, it was great to chat with him, and we were all both pulling our hair out at the last game. God knows what like after the Port Vale game. But yeah, it's gonna be a very difficult week for us all. But anyhow, and this evening then there's the SGM, which unfortunately I don't think any of us can get along to. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Again, I guess there's gonna be all out because, you know, the results are going badly. Then there's the DTB always take the brunt of it for that. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I know there's a bit beforehand with Jackie Oakley, who's been a huge advocate for the team, for the Dons. So,
have you seen the Dons Trust news today?
The Dons Trust news?
What's Stone the Dons? Silence.
No.
Dons Trust news today, as forwarded on to me from another WhatsApp group, is that Mick Buckley has been reappointed after an extremely lengthy process, so lengthy that I heard about some of it, and that's when I was on the board and I stepped down more than 5 months ago. The Dons Trust is pleased to announce 1 hour ago on online the reappointment of Mick Buckley as chair of the AFC Wimbledon Club Board. And then there's various other blurb about how long it took to do the process and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. I mean, I guess the only other positive things to say, again, regarding our club, and this is why being a fan-owned club, being a community club, is so important. There's some great figures that have come out from DLAG as well.
I was going to say, we've got to mention that, because that report from DLAG is fantastic. I shared it with a few local people, and they were like, wow, we didn't realise you did this much community outreach. And so it's still not obvious to even the locals how much we're doing. And that's well worth downloading and digging through. It was really positive.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So DLAG, big shout out to you guys again. Zav and the team there just do wonderful, wonderful work. So brilliant. I'm clutching at positive straws. And talking of clutching at positive straws, football is going to be saved, isn't it, Niall Cooper? The Football Governance Bill is back in front of the House of Commons. Surely football's saved.
It will be saved, Matt. And actually, as we speak live, the Liberal Democrat sports spokesperson has just quoted Fair Game saying that
how much did you pay him?
Football's distribution needs to change, and that there is a big problem in the amount of money the Premier League gets compared to the rest of the pyramid, quoting statistics put together by us saying this is wrong and it needs to be addressed. For those who aren't watching parliamentary TV at the same time as doing a podcast, which is obviously a limited pool of me.
Very, very, very niche group, Mr. Cooper.
Very niche group indeed. What the stats show is that since the 2013, the share of Premier League European wealth, it's gone from 24% to 31%. That's a share of European revenue. So the amount of money that Premier League has grown massively in Europe. Domestically, the share of revenue for Premier League clubs has gone from 74% to 83%. At the same time, the share of revenue, domestic revenue for League Two clubs has halved. So it's gone from 4% to 2%. So the Premier League, this golden goose, is getting fatter and fatter. But at the same time, all the little chicks that it has domestically are getting fewer and fewer crumbs. Basically, the Premier League is grabbing all the wealth, both in Europe and domestically. And that is leading to the collapse of the football pyramid as we know it. Because the only way to compete is to overspend. And we know at AFC Wimbledon that pressure is basically meaning that clubs at the lower end of the pyramid are running debts, huge debts each year. Had the revenue share stayed as it is domestically from what it was in 2012, the League Two would have over £100 million more than it does now. How much is our annual debt? It's about £1 million we need to make up. We're talking League Two should be, if it just stayed the same, not that it actually narrowed, which is what it should do, if it stayed the same, there would be £100 million more than there is now. And that is because we live in a country with the greediest league on the planet that has absolutely no interest in protecting the rest of the football pyramid. That's what's being debated now. And that's what I'm listening to. It is Max Wilkinson sitting next to the Wimbledon MP. They've just been talking about the fact that the move to that place should never happen as well, have been massively championing what we need to see in football change. That's what's happening right now. It's massively interesting to see us quoted and all that sort of stuff and to see this sort of stuff. But those figures are huge, and that's what needs to be addressed. And we cannot sit by and do nothing and say nothing about it, because it's just a scandal.
I think another thing that worries me, because there's an awful lot of American ownership now in the Premier League. And obviously when it comes to the way that they operate, is that they don't have relegation. It's just, it is a closed shop. And if we do, and the last couple of seasons we've seen now, two seasons in a row, the three teams have gone up, have gone straight back down again from the Premier League. So we're now in a worrying situation where the argument could be made by those teams in the Premier League, well, why should we have relegation? It's pointless, because the sides that come up are always going to go down.
They've probably got a very good argument to argue for a 16-team league and just close it.
Yeah.
But the mentality of a Premier League owner, an increasingly international owner, is how do I make the most amount of money out of my stadium? And actually, the best way to make money out of a stadium is to not treat it as a place where fans go, but to treat each of those seats as an asset. If you sell a ticket on a match-by-match basis rather than buy a season ticket, you sell it for 80, 90 quid, and those fans who are tourists come in and then spend 200 quid on merch in the club shop, that's 290 quid per game rather than selling it to a season ticket holder who's only going to go to the club shop once. They're not going to spend merchandise, 200 quid on merchandise every single week, whereas that tourist will do. That's the model that you're seeing, particularly amongst American owners, being championed. And I know some good American owners. Leighton Orient have had good American owners for a while. But, you know, there are issues around that are really significant. Mark, you want to come in?
Leighton Orient have just sold out. Leighton Orient were owned by the guy who owned Dunkin' Donuts, because I met him a couple of seasons ago. And he was utterly amazed that we were volunteers and just could not get his head around it at all in a very kind of American business patronising way. But they have just sold out to something else. I was going to point out a couple of things. First of all, you're bang on in terms of the tourist type thing. The only straw clutching that my friend Jermaine came to the game on Saturday, the Everton fan did, was point out that obviously Liverpool is exactly in that scenario where there are loads of tourists who go to the shop. But the other thing I was just going to mention is a couple of interesting articles. You get a lot of articles nowadays at this time of year relating to the end of the season. And the two very contrasting ones about two football league clubs in Wales, and there obviously only are a handful of football league clubs in Wales. One being Cardiff, who recorded 11.66 million pre-tax losses in their last accounts, plus 11.83 million pounds worth of loans from the owner, who, along with some other loans, there is a total of 40.3 million pounds worth of loans, apparently. That are now owed basically by the club to the owners, and they have no other way of paying their back. The contrast to that, of course, is Wrexham, who are like, can we keep on going? Can we keep on going? Can we go right through? And the very fact there's a headline, another BBC article saying, could Wrexham really reach the Premier League, is in itself ludicrous, if you ask me. But the interesting thing is because they've bought their way through each time, you know, buying people like James McLean to play last year in League Two and so on and so forth. Apparently their revenue last season was 26 million in League Two. Their playing budget was 11 million in League Two, which is beyond ludicrous. But apparently there's a general acceptance that the Championship average is around double that figure.
Yeah.
Which is just,
I mean, it is
literally. I have no idea what kind of comment to make about that.
Mark, the issue with that is also that the revenue distribution between the Championship, League One, and League Two is also fundamentally unfair, because 80% of the revenue the EFL organises to distribute goes to the Championship, 12% to League One, 8% to League Two. There's a massive jump. The only what is considered a vaguely sustainable gap in the whole of the football pyramid is between League One and League Two. And that ratio is 3-2. Right. And there is nothing like that in any of the other divisions. So you end up with this huge element of spending loads of money. I mean, like I've said this before, Millwall considered to be one of the most well-run clubs in the Championship. They lose 10 million a year.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just ridiculous. I mean, we moan about 1 million a year, and I can tell you we are probably one of the most well-run clubs in League Two, if not the most well-run club in League Two. We lose 1 million a year. I mean, this is like the whole of football at the moment. The financial model is just so warped and it's so out of control. And that's a bit that needs to be changed. You need to have proper oversight of this. And at the moment, we're not there yet. And guys, that is a big problem.
I mean, I was coming to Niall to say, is football's fixed? Because that was the thing we were clutching at straws here, and it clearly seems like it isn't. What was quite interesting is I ran into someone the other day talking about our pod, and they were saying you should put it on YouTube, you know, have us on you. I mean, can you imagine? But I think if I could just describe at the moment to everybody what it's like. So Niall is in a dark place. In actual fact, Niall, I think you should do something other than football related things at some point. Mark is sort of like, you know, pondering what's going on. And Adam is just sitting there like eating popcorn almost, watching what's happening. It's like watching it all unravel and just enjoy some popcorn. Oh, dear me. Oh, guys. Well, listen, I think we could talk about how the football thing is. Right? He is actually eating popcorn.
It's only 88 calories.
Yeah. Do any of us have any confidence for the Grimsby game?
What? No? Are you joking?
And also, Mark, I don't know. Generally, my feeling at the moment is I don't want to lose, obviously. No one wants us to lose, but I just don't know if I could put myself through that pain of the playoffs. And then if somehow we go up, what would it be like in League One? I mean, I'm terrified of that prospect in a way.
I mean, there's a million questions, but question one is, can we afford a League One squad? Doesn't sound like it. Question two is, can we afford even to keep some of the players that we have right now, even if they wanted to stay? Sadly, I suspect not. As you said, Goodman's going to be playing at a higher level. Will he be playing for us? Who knows? Or will he be just shipped off to, I was going to say Cambridge, but Cambridge will be relegated.
Yeah. Well, at least that's a nice day out. Cambridge is a nice day out. Barnet's going to be up again, so that'll be an interesting game.
But then you've got Cambridge and Barnet alongside Colchester being clubs that potentially will have to be competing with if we stay in League Two.
One thing we've got is it's probably going to be a more southern league, isn't it? Because one end, we're losing Morecambe and Carlisle. Yeah, and we're losing Portwell, Bradford and Donny. Coming down are, what, Cambridge?
Crawley? I think Crawley.
That's not very southern.
Crawley.
Bristol Rovers.
Yeah. Oh, these are nice days out. These are nice days out.
Going up is Barnet, and I think there's a couple of other southern clubs in the playoffs. We could have six new southern clubs or five new southern clubs, and we've lost six northern clubs.
Well, there you are. See, this is it. This is the positivity I was looking for.
Or we do something stupid and get ourselves promoted and we're up with all those northern clubs again. Oh, imagine how stupid that would be.
Who knows? It does appear that maybe this is something for another pod in the next couple of weeks, but it does appear that there is a groundswell, if you believe social media to be a groundswell, but there is an opinion forming amongst Crew fans and Walsall fans and some AFC Wimbledon fans that should they be fans of a club that either fails to get in the playoffs or fails in the playoffs to get promoted, that they should therefore, by definition, change their manager. I'm not saying that that's what I believe. I'm saying that's the groundswell of opinion I'm reading.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but this is what always happens. I mean, what's really weird is the last time that we got into the playoffs, it was a shitty start, wasn't it? It wasn't going very well. And then we picked up and we had the momentum and it was all that excitement that carried us through. Now we've had that in the early part of the season. It was amazing. So to get to where we are, in actual fact, you know what? I'm going to go with this. This is my end of the pod speech. Okay. This is where we are. 70 points, highest points tally since we got back in the league in 2011. We have worked so hard to get a team, a league place and a stadium, our stadium. This season, we are so close. We've beaten Ipswich. We've taken Newcastle virtually all the way. And bearing in mind, they went on to win the League Cup. We've thrashed the franchise. We've done all of this as a fans-owned club. And to the players, You know how hard we fought. On the pitch, you are our representatives. You embody us as a club. Now is the time not to be downhearted. It's the time to believe and give your all. That is my end of pod rant, my end of pod prompt. Can we please go and do all we can at Grimsby? Thank you so much to Niall, Adam and Mark. We're the same old Wombles. Let's see what happens.